custom here at Liz Alley is that, if you will, please hold your conversations to a minimum during the set so that we all can enjoy the wonderful music of Mr. Max Roach, the Max Roach Quartet. Thank you.
We're going to begin the first set of the evening by placing the solo spotlight on our drummer. He's going to give you one of his incomparable classic unaccompanied drum solos. The title of this one is For Big Sid. It's based on a melody written by Colvin Hawkins, recorded by Louis Armstrong, featuring one of the greatest drummers of all time, a man by the name of Sidney Caffin, Big Sid. So I want you to pay close attention to the deep harmonies and sonorous melodies that are inherent in this particular piece. And sit back and relax and enjoy yourself. Thank you. Makes me feel to know that you do appreciate deep harmonies and sonorous melodies. Now it gives me great pleasure to introduce my most illustrious cohorts. Firstly on bass, Mr. Calvin Hill. And on tenor saxophone, Mr. Odean Pope. On trumpet, Mr. Cecil Bridgewater. You know, when I worked on 52nd Street with folks like Charlie Parker and Dizzy Gillespie, especially Charlie Parker, first piece of the first set of evening was always the most difficult, the hardest, and the fastest of all the pieces. And I remember Miles would be struggling, I would be struggling, Al Haig would be struggling to keep up with Charlie Parker. I remember that right after Charlie Parker died, I ran to Miles Davis in the street, and we were commiserating on the death of this great American musician. And Miles, with his cryptic sense of humor, said, "Motherfucker died for me to get even with him." I know we can't use that one on this show. In any case, we're going to try something like that here for the first show, the first set this evening. Play an original composition. The title of it is "It's Time." Thank you.
Thank you.
for being both. You know, the blues is endemic to this music that we perform up here. And now we'd like to play a blues that was inspired by one of America's great poets, a man by the name of Langston Hughes. He wrote a blues called Six Bits Blues, a poem, a blues poem. If I may, I'd like to give you a stanza of this poem, a chauvinistic male poem, Six Bits. It's a traveling man's poem to boot. Mr. Hughes says, give me six bits worth of your loving, sweet baby, and I'll move on down the line. I said, give me six bits worth of your loving, mama, and I'll move on down the line. I'll make my loving short and sweet, because I don't have too much time. So give me six bits worth of your loving, sweet baby, and I'll move on down the line. Mr. Cecil Bridgewater.
Thank you.
Calvin Hill. Professor of Porno, Mr. Cecil Vinton. In the latter part of the 50s, musicians across the country were experimenting with what we call odd meters. Now, odd meters is anything that's not in 4/4 time, 2/4 time, 8/8 time, etc. 3/4 is an odd meter. 5/4 time is an odd meter. 7/4, etc. And so on and so on. In 1958, we were playing a jazz festival in Detroit. And we had put together something in 5/4, which was fresh to the American musicians' ears to some degree, these so-called jazz musicians anyway. And from an improvisational point of view, of course, there's a distinction there. In any case, we finished our performance and a very fine group from the West Coast came backstage to congratulate us and also to tell us that they were experimenting with odd meters, and that group, of course, was the great Dave Brubeck Quartet. Later on that very same year, 1958, we recorded our version of our 5/4 time in an album for Mercury, which was entitled Quiet As It Is Kept, and it's kept awfully quiet. About a year and a half or so later, of course, Dave Brubeck came out with his very, very musical and phenomenally popular Take 5. And I often wondered if he took the fire from us. It happens that way sometimes, you know, it's the industrial espionage, or the cultural espionage. In any case, I'm going to play the drum solo from that particular track, which was entitled, As Long As You're Living. And again, I want you to sit back and relax and hopefully enjoy yourselves. Thank you. Next piece is a variation on a theme that I put together for one of the great American composers, contemporary composers today. His name was Thelonious Monk. And this particular variation is based on one of his themes. There's a story that goes with it. I recall that I wanted to record this piece. And so before you can record something, you do, even though you may do a variation on somebody else's music, which is a special arrangement, you have to get permission of the composer himself to come down and listen to the piece and say it's okay for you to record it. So I invited Monk, we were working at the Village Vanguard prior to the recording session, so I invited Thelonious Monk down to hear my variation of his classic Around Midnight. So we went through it, played it as best as we could. I thought we did very well with it. So as we came off stage, I went back to in the corner where Monk, who is one of the true eccentrics, I mean, that I have ever not known some strange folks. But Monk really is that kind of a person. He always has been like that because we kind of grew up together in the streets of New York, around Harlem, doing men's and all. So anyway, I went back and I said, well, Thelonious, what do you think? To this day, he has not said one word, pro or con, about the arrangement. He just kind of looked at me and said, something like that. So we're going to play my interpretation of Mr. Thelonious Monk's classic Around Midnight.
Thank you. Thank you. Next piece. The piece contributed to our repertoire by a young pianist out of Ohio. His name is Stanley Cowell. We'd like to give you an interpretation of his very lovely Effie. Thank you.
Thank you.
just want to clarify something here to Mr. Bridgeboard and Mr. Pope. These people do this for everybody. They're just nice folks, so it doesn't mean that you're doing any better than you did last night or the night before.
Back to gold!
This next piece features our bassist, and it's my pleasure to accompany him on an original piece that of his that we recorded in Italy for an obscure recording company, one of the side streets of Milano. So don't look for it in your local record shops, because you'll never find it. It's Calvin Hill's Back to Basics. Thank you. This next piece is inspired by one of the great, truly great multi-percussionists of all time. That's the sophisticated way of saying trap drummer. The man's name is Jonathan David Samuel Jones. Jonathan David Samuel Jones is a great drummer who was with the great Count Basie's band when he first grew it on the scene in the late 30s. And he had a bag full of tricks. I remember as a young kid, I'd go to the theater on Saturdays with my lunch from home, and when Count Basie came up to Harlem at the Apollo Theater, young kids who wanted to be musicians. We all wanted to be jazz musicians. We'd sit in a theater. At the time it opened up again, those days we'd do 5 shows a day. Until it closed after midnight and go home and get a record. But he did some amazing things. And one of the things he contributed to the multiple percussion set traps was the hi-hat. At first this was a low boy. It was about 12 inches high. And that was an innovation of a lady in Pittsburgh, a lady drummer, in the early part of this century. And drummers used to go, the old timers, so they'd go to Pittsburgh and hear this lady play, and you'd hear this chick, 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 and wonder where the hell it came from, until they saw this little thing, and she had the split center as well as the bass drum. That time that was new and it was an innovation. And then Mr. Jones later extended it so you could play it upright with your hands as well as your feet. And I'm going to play something I've seen him do. I'm attempt to play this. Something I've seen him do with a hi-hat. And just before Gene Krupa passed away, he had leukemia, I believe it was. We had a testimonial in Central Park. All the drummers in the country and all over the world were there. Played with Mr. Krupa. And I mean, we played. Buddy Rich played. Elvin Jones played. Art Blakey played. Philadelphia Joe Jones played. And the King himself, Max, played. Anyway, Mr. Jones, who presented Mr. Krupa with a very, very beautiful plaque that had all of our names engraved in it for Gene, who died just shortly thereafter. He was the elder statesman, so he presented Mr. Krupa with this award. And then he came on the stage with just a hi-hat and a pair of sticks. I mean, we had played so much stuff, we just knew nothing else could happen, or at least we knew. And I will attempt to give you some idea of what he did to all of us that afternoon. So here's Papa Joe. Thank you.
Mr. Max Brooks. Mr. Max Brooks for himself. Please, out of respect to your neighbors and out of respect to the artists, we ask that you please hold your conversations to a minimum during the set so that we all can enjoy the wonderful music of Mr. Max Roach. Will you please welcome to the Blues Alley Bandstand, give a very warm Blues Alley welcome to the great Mr. Max Roach.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Coming down to D.C. is always like coming home for me, because I have so many friends here, and Blues Alley has always been there when I needed them. They were always there. But so when I was told that we were going to do this part of the show here at Blues Alley, I was really elated, and made me feel real good because I have so many friends here. And anyway, we're going to get on with the show. We're going to open the set by placing a solo spotlight on our drummer. And he's going to play for you one of his classic unaccompanied drum solos. This one has been recorded for Atlantic Records on an album entitled Drums Unlimited. It's out of the catalog now, so don't go to your local record store and try to find it. In any case, the title of this one is The Drum Also Waltzes. And I would like for you to pay close attention to the deep harmonies and the sonorous melody that are inherent in this particular piece. Thank you.
Back
and do it again on the kind of way you
grab. Start all over again. That's like your business.
Max, take two.
Ladies and gentlemen. Thank
you very much. I'm going to do something I've always wanted to do in the nightclub. I'm going to tell you a story that was told to me by Mr. Duke Ellington. Mr. Duke Ellington not only was a great painter, incidentally, he came from Washington, D.C. here. He's also perhaps one of America's most prolific composers, arrangers, and raconteurs, to say the very least. But he tells a story like no one else can tell a story. This is a story about a sadist and a masochist. They were young, too, and they fell in love. Tried to get married. They had money so they could go to the Pacific and really do it up. They have a Bible suite in one of those sumptuous hotels and one of those islands hidden away in a grove. Yeah. And that evening, after they had dined and wined, the waiter cleared the room of the dishes and wine, etc., closed the door, and the music was soft and beautiful, and the lights were low. As soon as the waiter closed the door, the one who was a masochist hurriedly leaped on the bed and ripped off all of their clothes and screamed, "Beat me! Beat me!" The one who was the sadist coolly stood fully clothed in the furthest corner of the room from the bed, that is. Quietly whispered, "Suffer." Suffer. Okay, we're going from the top. We're going to begin this show by placing the solo spotlight on our drummer. He's going to give you one of his classic unaccompanied drum solos. This one was recorded for Atlantic Records some years ago. It's out of the catalog now, so don't go to your local record shop and try to find it. The title of it is "The Drum Also Waltzes," and I want you to pay close attention to the deep harmonies and the sonorous melodies that are inherent therewith. So sit back and relax and hopefully enjoy yourself. The drum also waltzes.
Thank you.
Thank you. I can't tell you how wonderful it makes me feel to know that you do appreciate Deep Harmony's and Sonoris melodies. And now it's my pleasure to introduce my most illustrious cohorts. First thing we have on bass, Mr. Calvin Hill. And on tenor saxophone, Mr. Odine Pope. Trumpet, Mr. Cecil Bridgewater. We're going to take you to a very special place for this first piece. It's a piece that comes from my Freedom Now suite. And the title of it is Tears. And we're going to play this piece in memory of those 19 young black children who were murdered in Atlanta, Georgia. And we hope that it comes to an end. We're going to subtitle this piece Atlanta, Georgia, shame, shame, shame. Thank you. was Dawood, and it was written by a very dear friend and one of America's great, great young geniuses, Mr. Clifford Brown. You know, the blues is endemic to this music that we perform up here. We're going to play one that was inspired by a Langston Hughes poem. For those of you who aren't familiar with Langston Hughes, he is truly one of the great voices that America produced. And if he were alive today, he would tell you how it happened. It was the pressure. It was the pressure, baby. Anyway, he wrote some great poetry, and he said, in very few words, so, so very much, like they've taken our blues and gone. Things like that. But anyway, we're going to do one of his poems that we used as a theme of a Japanese film called The Black Sun. Never made it to the United States because it was critical of the system. I think it did. It showed in the Museum of Modern Art, when it was produced by Nakatsu Studios. It's one of the very few films I had an opportunity to do some music for. Anyway, it was an interesting film. Someday we'll talk about it. But Langston Hughes' poem was the underlying thread through this whole film. And I'd like to just give you a stanza of this epic, because it's a traveling person's poem. In this particular case, it's a traveling man's poem. I'll paraphrase Mr. Hughes just a little bit, so bear with me if you will. Give me 6 bits worth of your loving, sweet baby, and I'll move on down the line. I say, give me 6 bits worth of your loving, honey, and I'll move on down the line. I'll make my loving short and sweet, mama, because I don't have too much time. So give me 6 bits worth of your loving, baby, and I'll move. Ah! of the 50s, musicians across the states were experimenting with odd meters. Odd meters is time that's played, say, 3/4 time is an odd meter, 5/4 time is an odd meter, 5/8, 7/8, etc., 7/4. Anything that is not either in 2/4 time or 4/4 time, 8/8 time or 8/4 time, duple meters, is considered odd meters. They've been doing these kinds of things in Turkey, in Africa, and places like that for centuries. And it finally got to the States. Well, you know, I mean, it's a young country. You may step on little children occasionally, but it's still a young country, you know. Shame. Yes, indeed. Anyway, we were playing a jazz festival in Detroit in 1958. And with me at that time was the great Stanley Turrentine. It was a great band. I can buy and sell all of us. Howie Carradine and Bobby Bell's Bobby Bob's little bass and Julian Priestley. We had worked out some problems with odd meters. And I recall at this festival we introduced a 5/4 piece and after we finished our performance, very fine musicians from the West Coast came backstage to congratulate us and also talk about the fact that they were experimenting with these odd meters. And that, of course, was the great Dave Brubeck Quartet. We recorded our 5/4 time later that year, and of course about a year and a half. And it was in an album, a Mercury album, in case you want to get it. I guess it's out of, yes, it is out of the catalog. You may find one too. It's an album called Quiet As It's Kept. It's kept lovely quiet. The title of the 5/4 piece was As Long As You're Living. And, of course, a year and a half too bad, Dave Brubeck came out with his well-structured and very musical Take 5. It was also phenomenally popular and a great success, and I often wondered if he took the fire from us, he never shared the royalties with him in any case. No, it was truly written by Paul Desmond, but you know, when sounds get in the atmosphere, the common game, you know. But it happens sometimes, as in the case of Fleshy Henderson and Barry Goodman, Louis Prima, Louis Armstrong. Bless the young Stan Getz. Me and Kenny Clark. Yeah. Oh, this chat. Sounds like one of those musicologists. One of those ethnomusicologists. That's a different kind of musicologist, the ethnomusicologist. In any case, you know, as I said, you know, it's fair game when sounds get into the atmosphere. And there were some musicians in Philadelphia who were also experimenting with odd meters. And we're going to play a piece that we also recorded. This one on Atlantic Records. It's also on the catalog. On an album called... Drums Unlimited. And this is in 7/4 time. It was written by great bassist, Jenny Merritt, and we're going to give you the Philadelphia interpretation of odd meters. So here's James Merritt's NOMO. So N-O-M-M-O. Which means the power of the spoken word. So NOMO, Mr. Calvin Hill. Thank you.
Thank you.
Voice program. We have programs, of course, you know exactly what we're planning, so we very seldom take requests. I remember when I was working with Norman Vance, who was perhaps one of the foremost entrepreneurs of this music, because he was one of the persons who took the music to the concert stage with his Jazz at the Philharmonic, for those of you who are old enough to remember that period, when he had concert halls all over the world, playing sell-out crowds, standing room only crowds with people like Charlie Parker and Esther Young and Roy Eldridge, Coleman Hawkins and folks like that. And I remember when he would always introduce the group, and Elvis Gerald, of course, she was one of the mainstays. Tricky, Norman Grant. I'm just throwing this up to me.
You're talking about the lawyers.
Yeah, Larry, tough man. Anyway, he'd come on stage, and this is the way he would introduce, of course. Even though each night we'd do the same thing. Night after night, city after city, he'd say, ladies and gentlemen, what you're about to hear this evening is completely unrehearsed. You know? Reminds me of an interview that Magic Johnson had recently with a reporter who said to him, boy, you sure are natural, you know? You know, you held that ball, I mean, you know, you like you was born with it, you understand? Magic said to him, he said, yeah, after 20 hours a day, from the time I could walk, so now I'm a natural. Anyway, a crazy story, yeah. The ethnomusicologist over here, I can tell you that, you know that. This is strange breed of ethnomusicology. They deal with that. One more? We gotta play another one? Well, I was doing my dialogue here. Okay, we have to play another one. I thought NASA was in the cold, cold ground. Okay, we're going to conclude by answering a request from our producer, the guy who pays the piper, Gary Keith. I want you folks to know that a really wonderful young man is the one who put this thing together. This will give you some background on Keith's school and school situations, college concerts, huge concerts, big concert halls, etc. And in nightclubs as well. This is my nightclub. Sam Dizzy did his up league in California. Jerry Mulligan's was in New York. It's been really, really a grand day. I think this is the lineup of it. But let's all say over to Gary Keith, our producer. Come out here, Gary. Put all this stuff together. Where's Gary Keith? Come on, these guys have. Hey, Gary. Come here, man. Let's see what you look like, please. Huh? He's in the truck.
He's changing tires.
Yes, he's in a TV truck, but you love him. He works you to death. He's a brother, you know? So, and he put all this together. He's a brilliant young man. We just can't really give us enough money. Okay. We're gonna. Thanks, Gary. Okay, we're going to close with a piece that's written by Charlie Parker, who wrote many, many wonderful things. And he was one of those special human beings that had, whenever you heard his music, if you heard the first bar, you said, that was Charles Parker. That is Charles Parker's music. We're going to play his Confirmation. Oh,
Thank you.
You know, I regret to tell you that this TV show is an hour and a half special, and it zeroes in on three very, very important figures in American music. That's Dizzy Gillespie, yeah. Jerry Mulligan, and Max Roach. It's the first of a series that, with the help of the private sector, I think it's Atlantic Richfield, is that correct? Arco. Probably some of the executives are here. Some of the executives are here tonight too. Arco, NEA, and all the other wonderful folks who raised the money to bring this about. So you'll be hearing a lot of this, but the folks who are really responsible behind not only Gary Keys, which is a wise choice as a producer, was Lincoln Center in New York City, KCET TV in Los Angeles. Let's give them a hand. They are really producers. We want to thank all of you all for coming out and spending some time with us. You know, we're looking forward to coming back into Blues Alley. John Bunyan, he's the owner of this place. John Bunyan, thanks for the use of the hall. He didn't make any money tonight. Anyway, thanks so much, John, and we're looking forward to seeing you soon in the very, very near future, because, you know, when you have five children and three ex-wives to support you, and you have the help you can get, then you need all the help you can get, believe me. But in all seriousness, thanks. We love you. Thanks so very, very much.